This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. Two energy companies have agreed to pay a total of $1,001,250 to settle alleged collusion in acquiring federal oil and gas leases in Gunnison and Delta counties after a federal judge had rejected a settlement under which they would have paid a little more than half that amount. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is reporting U.S. District Court Senior Judge Richard Match accepted a revised settlement on Monday under which SG Interests and Gunnison Energy each will pay $275,000 to settle a civil antitrust action in the case. In addition, the companies earlier this year paid $206,250 and $245,000, respectively, to settle alleged violations of the False Claims Act in connection with the same leases. In December, Match rejected an initial settlement with the Department of Justice in which the companies would have paid $275,000 to settle all the allegations in the case. At the time, Match cited the unrepentant arrogance of Gunnison Energy and said that for the companies to settle the case for nothing more than the nuisance value of this liquidation is not in the public interest, to quote Match. He also ruled that the false claims action must be addressed separately from the antitrust one. The finalized settlement resolves allegations involving four leases covering 3,500 acres in the Ragged Mountain area. Neither company admits wrongdoing in the case. This is the Department of Justice's first ever challenge of an anti-competitive bidding agreement for mineral rights leases. For more on this story, see today's Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. Downwinders, drillers, and so-called post-71 uranium miners would be eligible for radiation exposure compensation under changes to the 24-year-old law proposed in the Senate. Senators from Colorado, Idaho, and New Mexico are asking that the law be expanded to cover more people and clear up contradictions in existing law. More than $1.7 billion has been paid out to former nuclear industry workers under the current law, which authorizes payments totaling $150,000 to miners, millers, and others who suffer terminal diseases that have been linked to radiation exposure. Smaller compensatory awards are available to certain downwinders, people who lived in areas in which fallout from nuclear testing was likely to occur. Senator Mark Udall, a Democrat from Colorado, is sponsor of the measure, along with his cousin, Senator Tom Udall, a Democrat from New Mexico, Michael Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado, and Republicans Jim Reich and Mike Crapo of Idaho. One of the major elements of the bill would be to extend benefits to miners and others who worked in the industry from 1971 on. Current law ends the eligibility period at 1971 because the U.S. government was the only buyer of uranium in the nation until then. Under current law, downwind areas stop at the Utah-Colorado state line. The new bill would include the entire states of Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Idaho, Montana, and Utah for fallout from the nuclear test site, New Mexico for the Trinity test site, and Guam for the nuclear tests in the Pacific Ocean. It would also increase the cap on attorney fees in such cases from 2% to 10% of the awards. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the Department of Energy has extended the public comment period on its controversial draft uranium leasing environmental impact statement until May 31st. The comment period was extended 15 days because of a request from the environmental group Uranium Watch, based in Moab, for more time to review the document, which exceeds 1,000 pages. Next week, the Department of Energy will host a series of four meetings in the region. Monday at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction, Tuesday at the Johnson Elementary School in Montrose, Wednesday at Telluride High School, and Thursday at the school in Naderita. Meetings will include a presentation from Department of Energy staff and their contractors, followed by comments from the public, which will be recorded. The federal program was revived in 2008 in the Uravan Mineral Belt, with 31 leases awarded for renewed. With 31 leases awarded or renewed for mining-related activities over 25,000 acres in Mesa, Montrose, and San Miguel counties. The tracts are leased to private companies for uranium and vanadium mining. No mining operations are active on these lands at this time, but could be revived in the future. A series of legal challenges followed, with conservation groups urging a more in-depth analysis. Courts cited violations of environmental laws, and in March 2012, a federal judge allowed the Department of Energy to proceed with a detailed environmental review. That review, one year in the making, became available this spring and can be found online at ulpeis.anl.gov. I'll post that link on our website with the news after this morning. The Department of Energy evaluated five alternatives ranging from canceling the program to a no-action plan of continuing the program for the remainder of the 10-year period. The Department of Energy has thrown its support behind option number four, which would continue the uranium leasing program with the 31 tracts. San Miguel County had supported alternative number one, which would terminate all the leases. A marijuana blood limit for drivers was rejected Monday for a fourth time in the Colorado Senate, where bipartisan skepticism on the pot analogy to blood alcohol limits helped sink the measure. It's toast. The Denver Post reports the State Senate Judiciary Committee voted 4-1 to reject the blood standard after a long hearing that has become something of an annual tradition in the Senate, reviewing the scientific basis for using marijuana content in blood to determine whether a driver is stoned. The Denver Post reports that Colorado's civil unions law that takes effect on May 1st will have a midnight coming out party in Denver's Webb Building, where Denver Mayor Michael Hancock will preside over some of the first ceremonies. The event is being organized by One Colorado, a statewide lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender advocacy group. Denver's Office of the Clerk and Recorder is facilitating the event, opening the doors at 10:30 p.m., April 30th, to welcome couples who wish to be among the first in Colorado to enter into a civil union. From midnight to 2 a.m., One Colorado will offer civil union ceremonies to couples, which will be performed by local judges, magistrates, and qualified religious and lay officials. And now it's time for another Attack on Rights report from KVNF's youth reporter Matthew Kane. This time, Matthew expresses his concerns about the U.S. drone program.
This is Matthew Kane with the Attack on Rights report. In the last segment, I reported about the never-ending attempts to control the internet by the U.S. government. And like I said, there's even a bigger battle in our midst. So what is this bigger battle I'm talking about? Drones, also known as unmanned remote-controlled airplanes. Drones can come in many sizes and many capabilities. They've been used for video surveillance, tracking, and military strikes. This kind of technology has the potential for beneficial uses, as in aiding law enforcement in apprehending criminals, surveillance and tracking of wildfires, and less exposure to pilot harms in military applications. My focus today is not the possible beneficial uses, but the potential for negative use and consequences of the drone program when used domestically, as in our own country, and its inevitable infringements of the people's Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights concerning the attacks on privacy and life. In the recent months, much attention and concern has been directed towards the present and future of the United States drone program. In the last months, many things have happened, like the California governor gave the okay to use drones to apprehend Chris Dorner, the ex-LAPD officer who went on a killing spree lasting 8 days. Members of Congress were given a confidential memo entitled "Lawfulness of a Lethal Operation" directed against a U.S. citizen who is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or an associated force. Following the leak of the document, Senator Rand Paul gave a 13-hour filibuster speech on the congressional floor concerning the powers of the president and how he might be the judge, jury, and the executioner of American citizens through the use of the drone program. Michael Isikoff, the national investigative correspondent for NBC News, stated that aggressive war in whatever form is often rationalized as being employed only against a supposed enemy. However, the Justice Department acknowledged in a leak that the drone program could as easily be used for targeting and killing American citizens on U.S. soil, and detailed the Obama administration's legal code for targeting U.S. citizens. The memo claims that the president can suspend the Fifth Amendment without submitting evidence to court, without congressional oversight, and without making its legal reasoning available to the public. To date, about 100 suspected enemy combatants have been killed without trial, and the rest, approximately 4,000 casualties, were innocent men, women, and children. Ironically, this is almost the same number of people who died on 9/11. Some of you may be familiar with the book by George Orwell titled 1984. Thus, coining the term Orwellian, it is defined as a situation, idea, or a societal condition that George Orwell identified as being destructive to the welfare of a free and open society. It connotes an attitude and a policy of control by propaganda, surveillance, misinformation, denial of truth, and rewriting of the past. And many feel the Orwellian state is upon us. Although Orwell wrote the science fiction masterpiece in 1949, long before the current drone program, he did witness the Nazi unmanned U-2 rocket program and its terrifying use against the innocent people of Great Britain. He calls out to us today, warning about the rapid deterioration of our freedoms and rights. I consider the drone program to be one piece of the government's attack on rights. Again, this is Matthew Cain with the Attack on Rights Report, reminding you to keep your eye on the sky.
Matthew Cain is attending the launch program in Cedar Edge, where the students can choose a particular area of study in the community. He's working with KVNF's program director, Allie Lightfoot, to produce these reports. If you happen to be traveling on the highways today, snow in Denver yesterday has left some roads between here and there a little icy this morning, with Vail Pass and the Eisenhower Tunnel areas reporting icy spots, Monarch Pass as well. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.